On March 17, 2005, opponents of the brutal war in Iraq unveiled a new strategy. This was a three-pronged strategy aimed at cutting off the supply of troops by encouraging GIs who wish to resist, by stopping military recruiting or hampering it as much as possible, and deterring any return of the draft.
Now open the referee comes off to roar.
On the 17th, the offensive opened with dawn's protest in front of the White House, in which an ultimatum was delivered to George Bush on the two-year anniversary of the ultimatum that George Bush delivered to Saddam Hussein, demanding that he step down from power. Dawn demanded the immediate withdrawal of American troops from Iraq.
Mr. President, this notice is being served to you on behalf of DAWN, the DC Anti-War Network. We are a group of individuals who oppose the war in Iraq in a non-violent fashion. For almost 2 years, the United States has pursued hasty and dishonorable efforts of nation building after waging war to disarm the Iraqi government. The former Iraqi government pledged to reveal and destroy all its weapons of mass destruction as a condition for ending the Persian Gulf War in 1991. No weapons of mass destruction have been found in Iraq. In the past, the anti-war community has engaged in diplomacy. We have written letters to newspaper editors. We have lobbied our congressional representatives and senators. We have voted our conscience. Our good faith has not been returned. President Bush, you have not lived up to your own words, which you spoke on March 17, 2003. Quote, "The United States with other countries will work to advance liberty and peace in that region. The greatest power of freedom is to overcome hatred and violence and turn the creative gifts of men and women to the pursuits of peace," end quote. The longer the United States continues its current military policies in Iraq, the harder it will be for there to ever be peace in the Middle East. Therefore, we in the anti-war community hereby give you, President Bush, 48 hours to start evacuating U.S. military forces from Iraq and the Middle East. Your refusal to do so will result in mass nonviolent demonstrations and civil disobedience commenced at a time of our choosing. Free individuals have a duty to defend our world by uniting peacefully against the violent. And today, as we have done before, DC Anti-War Network and our allies accept that responsibility. We look forward to your issuing the order to evacuate U.S. military forces from Iraq and the Middle East.
And that's Susan Matthews from Columbia, South Carolina, reading DAWN's ultimatum to the Dark Lord Bush, demanding immediate withdrawal from Iraq within 48 hours of this time on March 17th, 2005. We then crossed the street to deliver the ultimatum to the White House. This was the first of two attempts to deliver a statement opposing the war to the White House that day. Not surprisingly, the delivery was refused.
I'd like to deliver this message to President Bush.
You can't accept that. You have to mail it.
You have to mail it. It's the only way.
Only way.
Do you want to accept this message?
I President Bush. Not accepted.
Okay. Where do they take courier deliveries? The government of the United States of America has refused to accept a redress of grievances from the citizens on behalf of Don. So thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
This is interesting. That they said they can't accept it as a hand delivery, but they can accept it if it passes through the U.S. mail. Never mind all the security problems we've had with the mail lately. It would seem to me that a hand delivery would be safer so long as it passes through the same screening in the same mailroom.
Immediately after that, there was a rally in Lafayette Park running about noon to 1 on the 17th, demanding that the troops be returned from Iraq, involving such groups as Veterans for Peace, Military Families Speak Out, as well as the District Anti-War Network again. This time, not only did we have speeches reminding people that the war is in violation of all international law, but in addition, we signed on to a statement that we are encouraging GIs to refuse orders to Iraq, to resist this war in any way possible, in full knowledge of the fact that this is in violation of U.S. law in and of itself, just as it was in violation of Nazi law, to hide Jewish people, gypsies, gays, and the like from the long arm of the Gestapo. Sometimes it is necessary to go beyond protest to civil disobedience. After that, we marched to a recruiting station. The recruiting station had closed because protesters were expected, which means we succeeded in shutting down the military recruiting station at 14th and L for the entire day, just because a protest was there for 1 hour, where we burned a draft registration form, had speeches, placed ribbons representing those who've died in Iraq on the windows of the recruiting center, along with leaflets urging people not to join the military.
GI Rights Hotline, 1-800-394-9544.
I also just wanted to point out before I introduce our next speaker that not only are those phone numbers and email addresses where soldiers and their families can reach out to find support, but I also want to point out that if we reach out to the law, U.S. Code 18, Section 2387, that we will be violating here today with our statement to my right.
Now that's U.S.C. 18, Section 23-87, that specifically forbids counseling GIs to resist any kind of a war or aggression by the U.S. government. Section 23-87 probably is unconstitutional. It probably would never survive a challenge before the Supreme Court on First Amendment grounds, that is, unless Bush packs the Supreme Court with neoconservatives after killing the filibuster option. Nonetheless, it is an old law that still exists in the U.S. Code, and we chose on March 17, 2005 to defy this oppressive law in public by signing on to a statement encouraging GIs to refuse to go to Iraq and to resist this immoral, unjust war in any way possible. We now continue with Ellen Barfield of Veterans for Peace.
Veterans for Peace is very proud to be represented here today. Like many organizations, it has not officially as an organization signed on to our statement calling for nonviolent resistance because of the legal ramifications thereunto. But many of our members certainly will be participating in the campaign. We're very proud to be supporters of it. Veterans for Peace in this manifestation has existed since 1986. There was a Vietnam-era one that had some members who are also in this one even use the same logo, but they're not legally the same thing. They certainly are, in part, the same thing. The resistors during the Vietnam era, the GI resistors, were a huge part of what finally brought that immoral war to a close. And we know what we have to do to end this one. Veterans for Peace has seen its membership grow tremendously from a very small few hundred before 9/11 to about 5,000 now, because so many troops, so many former troops have realized they have to speak out, they have to join together and say, veterans, we've been there, we know war is not the answer. So I'm very proud to represent my organization, Veterans for Peace, here today. I'm also very proud to be able to say that this call for nonviolent resistance is only a very small part of a huge worldwide resistance to this illegal, immoral, horrendous war. There are nearly 600 cities around this country which will be having various demonstrations throughout this weekend. There are hundreds more around the world. We are just a small part of it, and we're very proud to participate in it in every way we can. So many of our fellow citizens in this country, while they have real qualms about the war, are concerned about what will happen in Iraq if the U.S. troops leave. Please, you must understand, the U.S. troops cannot possibly fix the harm they have done. There must be an exit plan. They must begin to be brought home now. At that time, the rest of the world will gladly take up its responsibility. The Arab countries around Iraq will send peacekeepers, and they need to be Arab Muslim peacekeepers. They know the country, they know the language. It needs to be them to do it, and they know their responsibilities. Of course, the United Nations will help out, but there is massive resistance to doing that until the U.S. announces it intends to leave. And that doesn't just mean the troops, that means Halliburton and Cattell and the legal hold they have on the oil and the other things that belong to Iraq. We cannot swipe that country and expect them to settle down and do what we tell them to do. I am so pleased to participate in this movement. I'm so proud of all of you being here. I've been in Iraq. I know the Iraqis are hardworking, capable people. They can rebuild their own country given half a chance. The U.S. owes them massive reparations so they can do that, but the U.S. cannot possibly fix it and must leave now. Bring the troops home, save their lives, save the Iraqis' lives. Thank you all so much for being here. Oh! The cloud of witnesses for what...
Following the speeches, we all read out the statement of resistance to the war and counseling and supporting GI resistance together.
Council and urge soldiers to refuse orders to Iraq if in good conscience they decide to do so. We publish and distribute today, and we urge others to do likewise, a call for refusal of orders. And we pledge to follow up with support for soldiers who refuse to exercise their right of conscience.
We fully recognize
that the soldiers are at far greater risk than we on the outside when we are counseling them to refuse their orders to Iraq. So it is our moral responsibility to them that we share that risk to the extent we can. Our violation of this unjust law is undertaken in the spirit of love, with compassion and respect for all we encounter, especially our soldiers. Soldiers have a right to conscience, as does every human being. We will not allow our right to support and encourage soldiers to act on conscience to be stripped away by any nation or any unjust law. Soldiers who seek support can contact the National Hall for Nonviolent Resistance to the Continuing War in Iraq. And we will www.nonviolent.org. And we will put them in touch with organizations that can help them exercise their moral decision to refuse orders to Iraq.
Thank you all. I would now invite you, if we put this statement down on the table, I would invite all of you to sign this statement that we will try to deliver to the White House.
I believe that website is www.mfso.org. www.mfso.org. That would be for Military Families Speak Out. If that website address is wrong, put Military Families Speak Out into Google and see what you come up with. Military Families Speak Out is willing to help GIs escape being ordered by an unjust regime to commit war crimes. As stated at the beginning of the statement, a part I unfortunately didn't get good audio on, under the Nuremberg Treaties, to which the United States of America is a signatory, soldiers have not only a right, but a duty under international law to refuse orders to commit war crimes. After reading out the statement, we all tried together to deliver it to the White House. Just as Don's ultimatum was refused, so was this statement.
Excuse me, officer, can we probably handle this pretty quickly if we would just get a chance to talk?
Yes.
We're not going to stay long. We have a statement here advising, counseling, and urging soldiers to refuse orders to go to Iraq. It is a statement signed by a number of people here today, as well as about over 500 other persons across the country. This statement is in violation of the United States Code, which tries to prohibit us from supporting a soldier's right of conscience. We have tried by calling the White House to say we would be bringing this to you today. We'd like you to accept it from us and deliver it to the President.
I cannot accept it.
That is the package of the President. But I have to go with the Congressman or through you, whatever office you have, and I can come up.
Can you accept this? If we would have just passed this through the fence to you?
How about taking a photograph of it?
Well, I'd like to say we've tried again. I want to make clear that we have tried in every way to deliver this message to the White House through the normal channels, as well as at the gate here today. We will continue to notify this administration of our violation of unjust laws which take our soldiers to fight and die in Iraq against their conscience. For the moment, apparently all we can do is leave this statement here. Hopefully someone will take it in and show it to President Bush at some time. We're now going to leave this here and then proceed to the recruiting station at 14th and L Street.
Take it to your congressman. Now isn't that outrageous? At the start of the war, congressmen received letters running something like 400 to 1 against going to war in Iraq. Yet they voted to go to war anyway. And let me tell you something. When an oil man in Texas needs to send a message to George Bush to benefit his friends in Saudi Arabia, it doesn't have to go through a congressman, it goes straight to the White House. When the National Cattlemen's Beef Association has a beef with environmental activists, they can courier it to the White House. And everybody knows any kid can write to the White House at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. Yet they refuse to accept a delivery from the anti-war movement and wouldn't tell us what their courier procedures were. Prior to the anthrax, the White House had a mailroom in the new executive office building on 17th Street. Now, I don't know if that was closed because of the anthrax or not. But whatever the procedures are, Secret Service wouldn't tell us. They're happy enough to tell a corporate lobbyist they just don't take deliveries from those who are opposed to war in Iraq. That being so, we left the White House and proceeded to make official the fact that we had shut down the recruiting station at 14th and L Street, thus physically obstructing recruiting into the United States Army. The recruiting station did not want to be open with protesters around, so they closed for the day.
Every day, I find that this seems to be the number one project that is going on around the country. People are flocking to counter-recruitment programs as a way to, we call it veteran prevention, okay?
Woo!
In Miami, at our next Veterans for Peace meeting, we have called for an open meeting and for everybody that we know who's been doing counter-recruitment organizing to come to our meeting and to start talking about the experience that we have and to step it up, you know, going out to the high schools, going out to the colleges. As I was here, I thought about that and I wanted to encourage other people around here. Maybe the Veterans for Peace chapter could lead up something like that, get some stuff going on counter-recruitment maybe just call for a meeting where people could come out and talk about their experience doing that. There you go.
There is a counter-recruiting program here in D.C. that's been going on for quite a while, run by a plethora of folks, including veterans. It's called CHOICES, which stands for Committee for High School Options and something something, which I'm afraid I never remember too well. But I've been doing counter-recruiting in D.C. high schools with them for quite a while, and I have recently referred the Veterans for Peace chapter here in D.C. to them also, so there should be a lot more veterans able to do that work. We go into the schools and we talk to young people about the other options that are available for them. There are several different flyers available here for anyone, especially media folks. There is a quite expensive flyer that is specific to D.C. with quite a few opportunities for job training, for college money, for other ways to go on with your life than to feel like the military is the only way you can get money for college or to get job training. Unfortunately, young people don't see much else. The military's right in their face all the time. You may know about one of the sub-clauses of the No Child Left Behind Act, which frankly has left children behind in myriad ways. Our schools are grossly underfunded because of the huge amounts of money going into this war. But one of the sub-clauses that a representative, I believe, from Arizona pushed in there was that the recruitment process and recruiting offices in various regions would have access to every high school student and their contact information, or the school would lose its federal funding. Individual students or their parents can opt out of that, but they aren't told that. It isn't something that is well publicized.
In other words, what she just said is that if you're in high school, you legally can opt out of having your information given to military recruiters in selective service. The school will not tell you in most cases. Certainly the No Child Left Behind Act isn't going to tell you. But here's what you do. You or your parents send a letter to the school. I believe it has to be your parents if you're under 18. And in the letter, you ask that all your personal information be deleted from the school's directory information. According to the No Child Left Behind Act, this directory information has to be given to military recruiters who will also pass it along to selective service, in other words, draft registration. If you send your school a letter asking that your name be deleted from the directory, then you will not receive the hassles and the pitches from military recruiters. You will not be bothered. Selective service will not get your name from that source. And like I said, W. Bush doesn't want students to know this. The feds and the military recruiters don't want students to know this, but it is your right. And there's been efforts to change this to a system where you'd have to opt in for your information to be sent to military recruiters. So far, that's gotten little traction. There's also been efforts on campuses that don't take federal funding, like some colleges, to once again throw ROTC and military recruiters back off the campuses. There's been a wave of student protests of recruiters lately on campuses, which in some cases have led to illegal arrests. In one case in New York City, students protesting a recruiter were dragged away from the recruiter, beaten by police, and the police then turned around and charged them with assault. Yeah, no doubt for hitting a cop on the club with their heads. What this pattern shows is that they are vulnerable to counter-recruiting. They know that recruitment is vulnerable and are desperate to prevent counter-recruiting. For the last quarter in which military recruiters released figures as of this speech, instead of getting 25% of their annual quota in 3 months, Army recruiters got 18%. In other words, they were off by a quarter from what they wanted to get. Military recruiting shortfalls are so severe at the National Guard and at everybody but the Marines that they're starting to sweat bullets. They're down. A strong counter-recruitment effort can cut off Bush's supply of troops and end the war so long as they can be deterred from bringing back the draft. The reason they don't have a draft today is they fear a civil war in this country. Now, the CHOICES project that was mentioned by the last speaker is letting students know that they can opt out, that they don't have to get the constant pieces of mail, the constant harassing phone calls from military recruiters who are probably some of the worst telemarketers out there. Now, when I was a teenager and I used to get those calls, I used to tell them that I was, quote, taken because I was already involved in the global movement to end the kind of injustice that regimes like Reagan, Daddy Bush, and now W. Bush stand for. Here's more of the Choices speech.
I admire so much the young people I've spoken to in the classes. They're curious, they're interested, they're really concerned. They know people who have signed up and gone to Iraq, and they're really worried about it. And it's really important to get them the information they need. So if you're in the D.C. area, I would urge you to get involved with the Choices Counter-Recruitment Project to get into the schools. And in Baltimore, the Veterans for Peace there are just getting going. We're a fairly new chapter. We're getting going with the Counter-Recruiting Project there. It's terribly important that young people know their options. Thank you.
And Code Pink also spoke in front of the recruiting station concerning experiences that they've seen when they've sent people to Iraq themselves.
So we've seen the reality of Iraq, and it's not something the recruiters are telling enough. Soldiers are being asked to participate in prison abuse, as you all know. It's a systematic order that they're given, and it's not just Abu Ghraib. It's in all of the prisons in Iraq. Soldiers are being asked to participate in collective punishment. That's when villages are shut down for water and electricity. Their fields, their napalms are ripped out of the ground to force them to collaborate. Soldiers are being asked to participate in supposedly securing areas for the Iraqis and get into situations where they, in fact, kill civilians, innocent civilians. We don't want to see this anymore. It's unnecessary. We know it's an illegal war. We know it's an immoral war. Let's stop our children from going there and being killed or doing the killing.
Yeah.